The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So as you know, loving kindness practice can help, it helps create the conditions for different mental states for us to have hopefully a more relaxed, spacious, kind state in our minds. That isn't always what happens. I always want to acknowledge that sometimes the opposite of a loving kindness arises. Part of the reason why I say this is because this happened a lot for me in the beginning. I'd be on a meditation retreats and be doing loving kindness practice, and oh my goodness, I was amazed how much hostility arose in me. Like, wow! Like, I wanted to think of myself as a nice, kind person, but here I was having like all these mean thoughts, just kind of like universally towards everybody. Come to find, I shared this with a meditation teacher, and come to find out, like, this is actually pretty common. So I just want to put that out there. We're creating the conditions for loving kindness, but sometimes what gets highlighted is all the times we haven't been experiencing loving kindness, or we may bring to mind things, and that's okay. That's just what's happening, and we can work with that as well. It's also possible that with this practice that you don't feel anything in particular. That's okay too. There's a lot of accounts that, especially when you're doing the practice, when you're actually meditating, you may not feel anything special. Maybe wondering, like, what am I doing here? It doesn't mean it's having an effect. It's very common for loving kindness practice, the effect of it to show up in your daily life. Maybe it doesn't show up while you're actually meditating, but you may find yourself forgiving yourself when you would make a mistake and saying, like, oh, that's okay. Or, you know, saying something nice to yourself or in the perhaps previously you wouldn't have. Or maybe reacting with some anger or hostility in situations where you might have in the past. So I just offer that as there's a whole range of things that can arise with this practice. There's no need to feel like one particular thing needs to be there. But part of the reason why we do loving kindness practice, as I said, is to bring some ease and spaciousness and a sense of warmth and kindness towards others. And one thing that happens if we have this warmth and kindness in our minds is that colors the type of stories, quote unquote, that we tell about our experiences. Often we have experiences and then we, without being aware of it, we'll say, oh, and then this means that, and then that means that this, and then off we go, and right, this whole universe we've kind of created in our minds. So one example of some stories, quote unquote, that we may be creating, and again, I'll say these aren't necessarily conscious things that we're doing. They are just reactions that arise as a consequence of our conditioning, the way we've been socialized, the families, the culture, all these things, right? They influence us and the things that we do. And sometimes the stories we tell ourselves about things are influenced by shame. We may have this terrible feeling about something that happened in the past that either we did or even occurred to us, and somehow we have shame that that happened, even though it may not have been our responsibility. It may have been completely out of our control. And shame creates this kind of feeling of unworthiness that sometimes may reside in our bodies, kind of like a heaviness or a hesitancy to start something new or to take a risk. And in order to not feel the feelings of shame, we may find ourselves doing other activities to distract ourselves, and these other things may not really support us and help us live our best life. Obvious things are, you know, like distracting ourselves with the internet or TV or our phones, or not that those aren't inherently bad. It's just that if when we use them as a way to just not be with what's happening. Maybe I'll say that our shame is often also disproportionate to the magnitude of what happened to us. Not always. But sometimes we may feel like, oh, that was a terrible thing, when in fact others may not think it was a terrible thing, but it gets magnified in our minds. So that's one type of story, maybe is shame. There's been a lot of research and study on this about how powerful that can be. Another story, it's kind of like an archetypical narrative that's been through ancient times. In fact, the life story of the Buddha sometimes takes this narrative arc, and that is the hero's journey. This idea that a hero's journey typically has like three steps to it. The hero leaves behind the familiar world. And that could be like something happens that's different and difficult, and you have to like, what I used to do doesn't work here, or I've never experienced this before. And the second step is the person learns to navigate this unfamiliar world and works with difficulties. Doesn't mean it's pretty, doesn't mean it's straightforward, doesn't mean it's not without pain. But difficulties is a part of our life. But what makes this a hero's journey is the third step, in which we come after these difficulties, we come back with, I like this expression, with gift-bestowing hands. Like, oh, we learned something. We learned, like, for me, I had certainly a lot of difficulties, and I went through chaplaincy training, and I thought, like, I can't be a chaplain because I don't have it all together. I don't have it all figured it out. And the person I was training with said, no, you don't understand. It's because you have had difficulties that you can be a chaplain, that you can meet people with their difficulties because you know what it's like to have difficulties. And that was a big shift for me to, like, oh, reframe. Like, oh, okay, so now I have something to offer that I can, you know, I have survived, or I know what it's like to be through difficulties. But I don't want to be too simplistic, and I don't want to say, like, oh, every difficulty you have has a silver lining or something like that. I don't want to dismiss the difficulties that we have. I just want to point out that we can have different ways that we understand the stories, quote-unquote, that we use to interpret our experiences, shame, hero's journey, and there are so many others. And loving kindness practice, creating these states in our mind, helps create the conditions in which the stories, the way we interpret what's happening to us, and what's happening in the world, what's happening to others, is filled with some warmth and care and generosity and spaciousness and some ease. And under those conditions, wisdom arises, right? In the best version of ourselves. Your life unfolds differently, right? If you meet things with a certain amount of openness and ease and kindness. Right, we all have this experience. If somebody's kind to you, you tend to be kind back. But if somebody meets you with a certain amount of hostility, you're less likely to be kind back. So in this way, loving kindness can really start to really change our lives by changing what happens in our minds. So for those of you who have been coming to the here, you know that we're going to start with a benefactor. We're going to do loving kindness practice for a benefactor. And I think Nikki sometimes says, oh, you can choose a whole collection of them if you'd like. I usually say to choose one. That's my preference. That's what works best for me, is to choose somebody that for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness towards, so that you have an uncomplicated relationship with. It's easy to feel warmth towards this person. It doesn't have to be somebody that you know and have an intimate relationship with. It can be a spiritual leader, or maybe somebody that inspires you and touches your life. If there isn't an individual that comes to mind, you can use what I call a lovable being, a cat or a dog or some other pet or some other creature. I think I've said this a number of times, but I don't know, I find it amusing. A very well-known meditation teacher says he uses a squirrel, which I don't know, I find kind of amusing. Just kind of squirrels, so. So whatever is easy for you to feel, I keep on using this word because it's a warmth or kindness towards. I'll see if I can get this so that's not popping so much. Can you still hear me if I have it like this? But not as well, right? Or, there we go. Maybe that's better. So then after doing loving kindness for a benefactor, we'll widen it for ourselves and do loving kindness for ourselves. And then maybe I'll just review. There's three elements to loving kindness practice. One is to visualize the benefactor or yourself. The second is to see if there's a warm feeling, a kindness, feeling of kindness. Often that's felt in the heart center, but doesn't have to be. And then there's the phrases to help create the conditions for feeling this. You may find you have an affinity for one of those three. That's fine. And you don't have to do all three. If it feels complicated and busy to do all three, just choose the one that just feels like it supports a feeling of loving kindness. Okay, so with that, let's take an alert, upright posture. Maybe I'll say alert, upright, and comfortable posture with loving-kindness meditation. The idea is to not be struggling with difficulties with the body, if at all possible, to have as much ease as possible. And then we'll start with taking three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect with the body. And maybe with the exhale, there can be some softening of any tension. And allow the breath to come back to normal. You can just trust that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to make it breathe or do anything special. And we'll start just to finish settling down. We'll start with some mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. So you can feel your abdomen moving or your chest moving. Or maybe the feeling of air of going in and out of your nose. Choose one of those three, whichever is the easiest or the most accessible for you, and just rest your awareness there with the movement. To support some ease, you can check in and see if there's some tension in the body that can be readily let go of. Often we hold tension with our eyes or our jaws. You can just check in. Sometimes the neck or shoulders. We're not trying to make a big project out of this. Just noticing if there's some tension that can be softened. There may be tension that can't be softened this easily, and that's okay. See if you can just allow it to be there. Can check in with your back. your belly. You can feel the chair or the floor, the pressure on your body. See if you can let the gravity do its work and sink in. Perhaps your legs and your feet. Then let's bring our awareness again back to the sensations of breathing. If you find your mind wandering, that's okay. Just very gently bring it back to the sensations of breathing. Now we'll start loving kindness practice. So bring to mind a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy for you to feel warmth, kindness, love, care, respect. Either a person or some other being. See if you can bring this being to mind. Visualize them. And you can check in. There may be already a warm feeling towards them, a kind-heartedness. And then to support the growth or maintenance or the sensation of loving kindness, we'll say phrases. And you can repeat these to yourself quietly in your mind after me. Having the benefactor in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in and see if bring to mind the benefactor again. And also check in and see if there's a warm feeling, a feeling of tenderness, warm-heartedness, kindness. If there is, you can allow it to get as big as it likes to get. If you're feeling the opposite of warm-heartedness, see if you can open your awareness to be really big and allow those feelings, those thoughts to just be a part of your awareness, but not all of it. And if at any time you get lost or overwhelmed or otherwise kind of disconnected from the loving kindness practice, you can bring your awareness to your feet on the ground and or to the sensations of breathing. These are always alternatives, or also something if you are getting a little bit lost. You can always come back to that. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to make these phrases your own, that is, to modify them or change them in a way that feels more resonant or is easier to relate to. Again, without making a big project out of it. We're just trying to find words that support a feeling of warmth and kindness and well-wishing. And of course, the words don't have to be in English. You may have a different language that is the language of your heart, maybe your first language. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, we can check in and allow any sense of well-wishing, loving-kindness, warmth. Allow it to get bigger. Not in a forceful way. Just in a way that softens anything that may be preventing it from getting bigger. Just allowing it to get bigger. Then we can expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness, warmth, care, well-wishing, respect, love. We can cultivate our hearts and our minds to care for ourselves in this way. So you can bring to mind a sense of yourself in whichever way that makes sense to you. It can be visualizing, it can maybe feeling your suchness here and now. If you find doing loving kindness for yourself difficult, some people find it easier to recall when they were young and maybe had a joyfulness and a playfulness and delightfulness. Maybe you have to, even when a baby. Here we're trying to cultivate a sense of warmth. We don't have to do what's most difficult. We're doing this in a way to support ourselves and support our practice. And just like we did with the benefactor, have the same sentiment and the same phrases for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You can check in and see if there's a sense of well-being or warm wishes for yourself. And just see, how does it feel? Do you feel it in your body? Or is it more a mental feeling? Maybe it's both. Again, just allowing it to get as big as it would like to. it's helpful, you can check in again with a sense of yourself or visualizing yourself. Again, if any of this feels too busy or complicated, there's no need to do it. Just you can put it down. These are all things to help support the practice. If it's not supportive, you don't need to do it. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then in the last few minutes of this meditation, I'll remain silent, so you can go at your own pace. Find words and phrases that are your own if you need to. And then to end this meditation, bring your awareness to the feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So before the meditation, I offered two types of stories, one about shame and one about the hero's journey. Just this idea that there are stories, that I'm using this word stories, which we often think of as fiction, you know, completely made up and artificial. Part of the meditation practice is to help us see clearly, like, what's really happening and what is extra? What interpretations have we put on top of what's happening? What are we, like, oh, that happened, therefore that means I'm a bad person, or it means that I'm the greatest person ever, or, you know, something like this, these kind of the stories that we put on. And loving kindness practice helps it be more likely that the stories will be one that come from a place of kindness and warmth. So I would like you to encourage you guys, or suggest, may or demand that I didn't know which verb to use there, to discuss this, the idea about stories without concern about what is the content of the stories we tell ourselves, or the veracity, or are they true or not? Let's put that aside for right now. Just the idea that stories are made around our experiences. Just the idea that, oh, from one set of events, there could be story A, story B, story C, story D, story E, that all are based on the same kind of, you know, objective events. So if you wanted to, so we'll get into groups of probably four for this, and have a discussion. And I've set this up this way for those of you who have been here before know about this. So it's not so much like sitting down with a cup of tea and having a discussion. It'll be more that one person begins and says something like, what is that? How does it affect you? What does it mean? What does it imply? How do you feel about just the idea that there are stories? Many of them we're unconscious of. Some of them we are conscious of. So we're not so concerned about the content, but just the fact of this. Then one person will say one thing, and then the second person says one thing, and then the third person says one thing, the fourth person says one thing, it goes back to the first person, and then they say a second thing, for them a second thing, but they will have been influenced about what they heard earlier. So in this way, everybody kind of comes together with the, like, oh yeah, that person said something, and that reminds me of this. So there isn't so much a lot of crosstalk amongst each other. You're just kind of going around, but you're recognizing how you're influencing each other. So maybe to make it easy, or do you think it would be easy enough to get into a group of four? You guys could just arrange yourselves. Yes. Okay, so why don't you arrange yourselves into a group of four, and the person who's wearing the most color black goes first. And if nobody's wearing black, the one the darkest, the most dark colors goes first. So if you can finish up and thank your partners. And we have a few minutes for some report back. Did you learn anything? How was that? Was that an interesting exercise? Was it confusing? Was it, I'd love to hear how it went. And here's a microphone, just to Oh, thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, so I mean, I know it's sort of a cliche, but just like this idea of like being mirrored, I guess, in Sangha, and just feeling like there were people who had qualities that I wanted to, you know, emulate, I guess. Or I don't know if I'm using that correctly, but I wanted those qualities in myself, and feeling like they hadn't been sort of like cultivated or accepted, and just feeling like I see them, and it like it brings it out, and it resonated with me a lot. And just feeling like when I have interpersonal like connections like that, it's like a part of myself being opened. And I think that's one of like the joys of this sangha, is just being able to have parts of yourself come alive in the interactions.
Great, thank you. I think that we should never underestimate the power of the people around us, you know, how they affect us. Their mood states can be contagious. There's a lot of research on this type of thing, but it's why it can be enormously helpful and beneficial and joyful, sometimes painful even though too, right? I have to be honest, it's a whole spectrum to practice together. So thank you. Anybody else have a comment?
This was a very spiritual evening for me. I asked Buddha and God, when I walk on a daily basis, to give me guidance, to simply give me guidance. And he led me here. And your words of wisdom and this group that I'm with really resonates with me, and I feel the guidance. And I'm happy, I'm healthy, I feel wise, I feel just by being here that it really meant a lot for me, especially with some of the things I'm going through in my life right now. And so I can see why I was led here. And I just moved to this neighborhood. And I lived right down the street.
Oh, nice.
And in my daily walking, I noticed this place. And I was drawn here. And I feel so grateful. I feel so blessed. I feel so healthy. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Right? I feel this too. Like, what a blessing this place is, right? Where people come together, this wholeheartedness, warmth, care, respect. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that. So it's 7:01. I want to respect your time, so I'll let you go and wish you all safety, happiness, health, and well-being. If you'd like to talk to me, you can come up afterwards. So thank you. Yeah.